Hello and welcome to Hustle, a new podcast providing industry advice for women in music. Are you passionate about music and want to stop the hustle and make your dreams a reality? Then this is the podcast for you. Not only do I interview other female artists, but labels, promoters, collectives, and everything in between. I also dive into the nitty-gritty business and marketing side. You can expect positive energy, motivation, a lot of laughs, and of course, inspiring guests. Hosted by myself, Eliza, the founder of Good Vibes Only Music, I'm a full-time DJ and entrepreneur. Thank you for listening. Please follow and subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Peace, love, and good vibes always. So today on Hustle, we're going to be speaking to Jess Chambers. She's an event creator and production manager for Rebellious Creatives, also Shindig, and We Are Viable UK. Jess, mate, how are you?
Good, really good. It's so nice to speak to you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh no, thank you for coming on the podcast. I think you're probably actually the first person who's got like a real job in the industry. So far I've spoke to a lot of DJs or artists or band members or band DJs or one university professor, but you're in there. You've got a real job.
I don't know if my mum would agree, but yeah. No, it's good. It's been a bit of a roundabout way getting to where we are, but it's something that I'm really proud to do and excited to do. So yeah, it's cool.
Oh, amazing. So can you tell us, tell us from the beginning, really, how did you really get into this role of event creator or production manager? Was it something you've always wanted to do since a child, or did it just come about through raves and festivals, or, how did you get into it?
Oh, well, I mean, I'd kind of always wanted to do it. I've always wanted to work in events. I did a lot of like theatre when I was a kid. So I've always been quite of that world, I guess. I remember when I was about 13, reading a book, being like, I just want to be part of that. I just want to be there. And I sort of worked really hard and managed to get a ticket when I was 13, and just remember standing there going, I'm involved in this, but this is what I need. I need to be here doing this. And then it probably wasn't till I was a lot older that I actually managed to start working in it. And I kind of did it. It was good. And when I was there, I was the I got elected as like the entertainment officer, so I got to book all the parties for the student union. I got given a big old budget every year from the university and a 2,000 capacity venue, and they were like, just do what you want. As long as you sell tickets, you can just kind of do what you want. So that was cool. And I just, yeah, I was like, yeah, totally. I totally know what I'm doing, It's kind of something I've always said is just say yes. Just say yes to things and you can just work out the details afterwards. So I did that for a few years, and then I met my business partner, and he, we'll probably get onto him later, but I do Shindig with him. We met at a festival that I was working at, and then been together, set up shop, set up Shindig, and it kind of went from there. I mean, I had other proper jobs on the side. I was working it. I did loads of other bits and pieces until I kind of fell deeper into the music industry and was able to actually get a proper job, like a national touring company, a company called the MJR Group. And so I looked after like 10 music venues around the country, did like international tours, and that was very much like the business of music. It wasn't but that gave me a pretty good stead, and I think probably more on the flip side of festivals, I was more office based, dealing with agents and bookings and contracts, running. So it's always been there. It's been in the background, but to kind of working for myself was the end goal, really, and doing it on my own. So
yeah, that's amazing. I mean. You've kind of just brushed over the fact that, you and your partner set up Shindig. I don't know if anyone heard of Shindig Festival. Oh, I think so. It's not like a small thing, mate. Like, and you're the woman behind it. You are the lady behind. You're the lady that makes shit happen at Shindig, right?
Yeah, Yeah, you do gatekeeper because I'm usually the lady that does the tickets. But I mean, it started off small. You know, there was like 1,500 people in the beginning. And there was, yeah, it was just like our meeting there, mate. And just went and found a field and put some tents up and a couple of little stools and just whacked some flags up. And we were like, ooh, let's do it, you know. And just had a go, and we kept doing it, and more people kept turning up. And I mean, in the grand scheme of it, we're not like Glastonbury size, you know. We're about 10,000 people in terms of operations. It's very much we are hands on. We all do like 10 jobs each, which helps, you know. When you're kind of learning it and you're kind of working out everything, then it kind of, you have a lot of control over it. So.
Wow, that's amazing. I was very lucky to have gone to Shindig. It wasn't last year, it was the year before. Time has flown by. And it's such a lovely festival and a vibe. Really.
Yeah, we tried to, you know, incorporate all the bits of other festivals that we were to create it. And, you know, being, there's a lot of women behind the scenes, which I'm really proud of. We, you know, we kind of, there's like all the decor girls are like, I mean, they're babies on their hips, like staple gunning stuff to the roof of a building. Do you know what I mean? They're just wild. Like, and there's a big female kind of vibe, which I love. And we've all kind of grown up together, 7 years or 8 years will be now. But yeah, it's exciting, you know. In our programming, you know, we book women without even thinking about it. You know, sometimes I have to be on that lineup, Will, and he'd be like, oh yeah, no, Dora, I've got this girl I'm going to bring in. And so having that to push forward the agenda of, like, you know, making sure it's balanced is kind of big, but something that we're really proud of, and we do push quite hard because it's important, especially now.
Yeah, even more so now, especially with the whole, well, there's a whole big thing about it now, obviously, like trying to make sure that, you know, 50-50 on the lineups and this, that and the other, which, you know, could be possible tomorrow if somebody made it possible. But yeah, no, it's great to see. And I remember when I was at Shindig, you know, there are, I mean, there's lots of women DJs that I've actually spoken to, like Madame Electrophy. I've chatted to her like the other week. Minnie DeMix, I was speaking to her. She's going to be on the podcast, I think, next week.
Amazing.
Yeah, lots of women, and the vibe's cool. It is nice. But, you know, it's not just, oh, it's only 10,000 people. 10,000 people is a lot of people.
Yeah, especially when you don't know them. You're like, stood at the, you know, walking around the site or stood at the bar, and you're like, who are all these people? What's going on? Like, it's mad. It's really cool. And it's definitely, it's turned out, really. I mean, at the moment it sucks because we had to postpone last year to this year. And then we're just kind of waiting to see. I mean, we're not confident, to be honest, given the state of our government at the moment and the lack of anything. I think we're still in January. We're waiting to see what happens yet, but that's probably going to happen fairly soon.
Well, because normally Shindig's normally in May, isn't it? So it's the real start of summer, isn't it?
Yeah, it does feel like we're kind of like the first one, and people go nuts as well because they've been cooped up all winter. So they're like, let's go. Up and get really into it. So yeah, hopefully if we can do something, we will do it. If we can't, then we know that all the Shindy crowd will kind of just
Yeah, well, you've got a lovely little tribe. You've got a huge tribe of people that follow you, will follow you wherever you go. Whenever you do something, they'll be there, really good. I think it's quite niche, but it's a group of people that are just behind you 100%.
Yeah, well, we had talked about it before, but last September, not the one just gone, 2019, Will and I produced our first kind of independent festival for the Dub Pistols, Mucky Weekender.
Yep, I saw that.
It was like a mini Shindig. Everyone was there. There was loads of people that had come, and they were like, oh, we just thought you guys were involved, so, you know, we'll come down and see what it's like. And that for me was a big deal because it was the first time I was like fully event director, and everything was on my head. And that was the first time it was fully me sorting everything. But it was good. It was an exciting time, and we did, you know, there's about 1,000 people there, so it was only small, but it felt, I mean, the weather was awesome as well, which helped. Really good to do.
Yeah. So what made you decide to put on something like separate to Shindig. So the Mucky Weekend, was that your, that was you and Will, was it you and Will and the Dub Pistols? I can't remember from the promo.
Yeah, it was. So, but I don't know, we've been batting it around with Barry for a while, and we'd
good old Barry.
Like just drunken nights going, we should do something. Mucky Weekend kind of lends it, or Mucky Weekend lends itself to perfectly being the title of a festival. Mm. So I think we kind of talked about it, and we started planning it in like December. And we just sort of, let's just go. Why don't we just take a punt on it and see what happens? And yeah, I mean, love Barry, but probably won't be doing that again. 8,000 phone calls a day. But the whole point was that we were going to create something, brand it, go and find the site, design a site. You know, the startup aspect of it, and then just hand it back to them and go, you guys run with it.
Yeah.
A big part of what we do is I call like getting the gates open. So we're very much like in the startup stuff. So I, part of my consultancy work is going in at like the sort of beginning stages of businesses or venues or club nights or whatever, and just helping people get open and get started. You need to know, and then going, it's your baby, you crack on with it. Which is fun work. It's getting to be at the beginning of things, which is always good fun.
Which is the creative stage as well, isn't it? So,
yeah, very much so. Yeah, that you can, and this, you know, using all the things I've learned over the years and applying it to different businesses. You know, a lot of course, like, you know, Google advertising or website development, or, you know, putting on club nights in terrible little venues when I was in my teens and stuff. It all feeds into what I'm doing, and I always go, oh, I know who to speak to for that, or oh, that's the website we should look at, or, and it all comes back round. You know, everything is a learning point. That really informs how I do my work and how I work with new clients or things like that, because it is that like fun sort of beginning stage of things, which I love. So
that's amazing. I'd imagine after the whole lockdown side of things, everybody's going to be biting their hand off to get their project or their club or their festival off the ground and up and running again.
Oh, well, hopefully. Well, I am available. I've got a bit of time in my schedule.
Call me.
Yeah. I've been working for my friend's construction company, because a lot of health and safety stuff that I have to do for festivals also applies for building sites. So I've kind of gone in and reorganized his business, but you know, it works. And then I've been working for another friend who is just setting up quite an exclusive wellness membership website. So it's going to be lots of yoga, mindfulness stuff. So I've come on to kind of take my knowledge of getting the gates open, so to speak, to help them get their business online and launching in a few weeks' time. So everything kind of ties to your, you know, shouting at builders on a building site, or you're reorganizing your website structure. It's operations, and it's kind of that whole ethos of organizing together. It's the same as a festival, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, all the skills are transferable. And I think a lot of people, they don't realize that the skills they've got from, say, their marketing degree or their business or whatever is transferable to them being an artist or a band or anything. It's all it's just another business. Just another business. You just need to make things happen.
Yeah, totally. There's, you know, I think a lot of the time you've got to take a chance. You know, if you're dying to get into the music industry, probably now seems a bit scary, but look at what you do or you've done in a previous life that you could go, you know, you might want to be the lead singer of an awesome riot girl band, but have you got skills that might get you into something else? You know, are you really good at organizing? Would you be able to go into like tour logistics or something like that? You know, take what you know and apply it to a different aspect. And sometimes where you get into the music industry doesn't mean that's where you're going to end up. You know, I'm sure you've probably experienced that yourself.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? I think the girls I was just speaking to on the interview before you, the Dance Loud girls in the Chicago, they were all about being a yes girl. And I've had this conversation with other women, like, you know, if you just take a punt on yourself and someone asks you if you could do something, just say yes for once, see what happens. Oh,
that is my absolute ethos. You know,
as long as it's not like, you know, brain surgery. I mean, who knows? Like, surely it's not.
Yeah, Well, I mean, you know, anyway. No, but I think, yeah, just, yes. I mean, there's so many things I've just gone, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can totally do that. I'm like, yeah. And then you just work it out off.
Yeah, they're like, fuck, shit, I really need to make this happen now.
Yeah. My nickname is Jess You Can, because I just go, yeah, I can do that. You know, and it's just, I'm just saying, like, okay, cool. And then I'll go and Google it or ring someone and be like, fuck, how do I work this out? But yeah, a chance. The worst thing that happens is that you fuck it up and you hold your hands up and go, yeah, I made a mistake.
Didn't work.
And, you know, as long as no one dies and you don't cost anyone thousands of pounds and you're leaving, so...
Yeah, I love that. Jess, you can. That could be an awesome hashtag. If you're not using that now, that should be you. Like,
yeah, good.
Being honest as well, like you said, you know, especially if you know, it's great to say you can do everything, which is cool. But if you do fuck up, you got to own it. And then I think you get more respect for that and having a go, as long as it doesn't cost any money. In the first place, lots of people try it all the time. You know.
Yeah, there's been tons of things I've gone, oh my god, you know, and just majorly maybe in, like, you know, I can't think of any specific examples because I've probably buried them in down deep, but like, yeah, it happens, everyone does it. And you think everyone that's in this industry, they started at the bottom, you know, they were like a runner, they were on the moment, you know, all these jobs or handing flyers out and stuff because they love it. And I think having that passion, people can see that and it kind of does shine through. And you know, I've taken on members of staff who come from all life because I can see they are just bang into it and they just want to try and they want and they often work harder than people who've done like event management degrees because they think they know it all. So I think that is half the battle. It's just coming with passion and having a go, really.
Yeah, asking the question, isn't it? You know, can I get involved in this? Or can I have a set on your stage? Or can I do whatever? It's just asking that question because people are not going to bite your hand off. You know, people are not mean.
No.
And they appreciate that you're coming from a place where lots of other people have come from already.
The worst that people are going to say is no. And then you go, cool.
Yeah.
And open. And I think, yeah.
You don't know them either. So it's not as if, you know, it's the end of the world. No one's dying. They've just said no. So if I can brush it off and ask the next person and the next person and keep going with your dream, because eventually you'll end up in the job you want to do. And you've blagged it the whole way.
It is, you know, sometimes you're going to have a little slip up or you might not get the job that you desperately want. And other times, someone's going to say yes, and then you jump ahead 10 paces because you accidentally think you probably aren't qualified to do. But it is, you've just got to have that thick skin, as people always talk about in the industry, and you've really got to just be prepared, you know, and ask to shadow someone, or, you know, there's so many things that you can do to kind of, you know, probably work for free, unfortunately, which we all have at times. It's definitely, especially after the pandemic, you know, it's going to be quite a saturated industry for people wanting to do it. So to make yourself stand out, you know.
Yeah, and I think the whole working for free has had a really bad kind of rep recently, because, you know, people, I mean, especially for DJs, like, oh, you should always be paid. But if you're just new, no one knows who you are, and they don't know whether you're actually going to be any good or whatnot, and they're taking a punt on you by giving you a set. And, you know, you can negotiate after that, but, and volunteering, do a back-to-back with somebody, or volunteer at a festival, or, like you say, shadowing's a great one. No one ever asks that anymore. Maybe that's like a dying art. I don't know.
No, it's mad. And no one does. We talk about it all the time, because we keep talking about getting like interns at Shindig, and we're really, like, diversity is a big problem in the West Country down here. It's, you know, there's hubs of people of colour, but where we are out in the rural part of the state, yeah, it's pretty white. So we're really keen to encourage, like, kids from inner cities, like, especially from Bristol, getting them involved and being like, look, come experience stuff, you know. And, you know, we are looking at paying people fairly because it's a lot. But just giving people a chance, you know, mentoring and teaching people. You don't know who the next they could be. You know what I mean? They could be someone incredible. Just give them a chance. Yeah. You know, we are open. We're open to people trying and obviously at the moment I don't really want an inbox full of people going, hey, can I have a job at Shindig?
I heard you on the podcast. We're a little bit interns.
yeah, not at the moment. Don't call in. We're good at the moment. But it just, even advice, I mean, I get people that randomly will connect me with friends and be like, oh, my friend's thinking about read a cover letter for them, or would you give them some advice of how to do this? And like, just reach out to people in those positions. Like 9 times out of 10, they'll happily just message you back, do this, or maybe you should do this. Like, you know, if you keep your points short, you keep your mission clear and be like, this is what I need from you, people aren't going to be offended by it. I think, like you say, mentoring seems to be like a dying art, and shadowing and stuff, because that's how people got into it years ago.
Yeah, that's how people learned their trade, didn't they? I mean, that was every trade, wasn't it? Not just like, you know, we kind of talk about music now, but that was every trade. Plumbers, electricians, you started at the bottom from nothing. You didn't earn a lot, and that's how you went up. Like, I mean, there are internships, but there's a lot of female mentoring, I think. Well, there are a few mentor programs in music, but they're not very well known. I think that's the problem. But it's difficult, isn't it? You've got to go and look for them. And I have people emailing me and messaging me, or Facebook or Instagram, saying, you know, will you check my press kit for me? Or I'm trying to get into this club night, or I want to put on a night here. And, you know, what do you suggest? And I'm always like, oh my God, how can I help you? Like, excited for them, because it's like imparting that knowledge that you've learned the hard way in some cases, that it's nice, isn't it? It's kind of rewarding.
Sometimes I'm asking me to come on this, I'm like, why do people listen to what I've got to say? Like, what is this about? You know, I'm like, oh God, people actually ask my opinion on stuff, which is wild to me. Like, I'm just getting in the way sort of thing. But yeah, it just blows my mind, really. But yeah, that is definitely a piece of advice to anyone listening. Just ask. You will only get told no.
and definitely be nice about it as well. Don't ask with like some ulterior motive that you want something else. If you genuinely want an answer to a problem or a solution, that's great, but don't try and sell yourself backwardly through questions.
There's got to be an element of that. And also, like, you know, you might have like nothing to do that week, but that person might be having the week to expect answers instantly. Though sometimes it takes me like 2 months to get back to people, and I'm like, I am so sorry it's taken this long, but I'm just, you know, this is going on. I'm happy to advise people and impart my battered wisdom when I can. Whether they take it or not, that's another matter. But it's I think everyone needs a little leg up at, you know, telling me like, that's fucking stupid, we don't do it that way. And you go, oh cool, I'll store that for later.
And it's important, like you just said that then, is that, you know, you are actually busy, so you will get back to people. And it's okay it's okay to be a bit late on the emails, and I think people need to appreciate that and not expect things like now. I live in a very slow-paced life now, you know, so things are different. I'm not in London anymore, where you get a message back. You might get a message back in a couple of days. And even then I might be like, I might forget. But eventually I'll come back to you.
Definitely. There's lots of things. I mean, kind of thinking about other stuff, like to say to people, like, don't just message someone and not really know about who they are. You know, maybe just do a little bit of research, read about that person, Google them, look them up on Facebook. Find out whether that person is the right person for you. You know, it kind of applies to the whole industry. You know, if you're a promoter wanting to get into a city, go and find out what other club nights are in. Go, I'm going to do the best drum and bass club night of all time. You're like, there might be a heritage night in there that's quite legendary, you know? Yeah. And just learn a bit about people and what you're actually talking about, because it comes unstuck quite quickly.
You got to make that email count, that one email. Make sure that it reads well, make sure that you're asking the right person. It's like, you know, putting your best foot forwards. That's what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, and your profile's updated. If you are a DJ, make sure you've got your handles and stuff in your bios. And like, if you're emailing a booking agent, I've had this, check your music out, put the links to your music in the email. I'm not going to Google it. I'm not going to look for your music.
Oh.
Just check what you're sending out to people.
Honestly, mate, that is the bane. I mean, I have that little stage at Wilkstock Festival in Stevenage, and I have about, give or take, I don't know, 20 to 30 DJs that I look after on the stage. And it is my one pain is that fucking electronic press kit or the press kit. Or the, you know, making sure that, because, you know, people don't appreciate that I'm busy and that I am managing X amount of DJs and the stage and the health and safety and the decor and all the shit that comes with it and all the inquiries and doing the social media and the artwork. What, you've not got a bio, fucking write one. Write one.
Yeah. 2 seconds, just tell me who you are. Yeah.
Don't send me your Facebook page.
Yeah, then don't get annoyed at me when I don't put your full information online, because you're like, yeah, that's the thing. Try, be helpful. Give people the information they need to know about you, Cision, and then don't get arsy about it.
I mean, I normally try and take like DJs that it's their first festival gig, or it's their, you know, they're up and coming DJs, so they're all really grateful. But sometimes I'm like, oh my god, I could kill you all.
Yeah, definitely. When I was looking after the GoFunk paper, when we, you know, years ago, there was, I'd email people back and I always had like stock answers to be like, all right, okay, I'm not going to add you to my record label. All my, you haven't sent me any music and you sing, apart from a single badly spelled sentence telling me that I should listen to you. And sending them like emails going, look, this is what you need hard. Yeah. So, yeah, anyone out there, if you're thinking about it, just update your press kit, all right?
Yeah, get a press kit. And you don't know what one is, Google it. Or ask me, I'll tell you.
Yeah. And put photos that are recent. I don't want to know what you look like in 2007. Doesn't help.
No, and the funny thing is, you know, the thing they really need to remember is that they are 10 to the dozen. Somebody else will have their shit in order. And if somebody else is going to make your life easier, then you don't know them. You also don't have any loyalty. So,
yeah. And this goes across the board.
Across the board.
Food traders, that sent me a bio about them, a whole menu, what information they need for like what electric they need to plug into, where their hackers are, and they send it all in one email. They could literally be selling like bags of dog shit and it wouldn't matter. I'd be like, wicked, you're in. Because you sent me the information. Everything. You've not made me email you. The person who sells gourmet Michelin starred flipping burgers, if it takes me 62 emails to get your information, that's it. You're on the bin list. You're not coming back next year.
Be quick about it as well. Be quick, be concise, make it accurate. Like, no one wants to have to try and find out who you are. What's the point? Like,
yes.
That was funny. I think I did this when I did the stage one year. I posted on a female DJ group that I was looking for 15 females, and the first 15 that came back to me with the right information were the 15 I booked. It was that simple. Mm. I mean, they obviously had to be good enough, but I mean, you know, which I did. Yeah. But the first 15 that came back with the right information, the ones that kept harassing me with stupid questions, I just blocked.
In the bin, that's it, you've had your chance. Yeah, now these days, it's out there. It's out, the information's out there. It's not fucking difficult. Think about it. Think about how you'd like to get the information and just do that.
Oh my god.
We've all got time. We've all got loads of time. Hands.
We have at the moment. I love that, yeah. Think about how you would like the information delivered to you, and then do it that way. Brilliant.
Yeah. The same goes for invoices. If you send me an invoice, it says invoice dot to the bottom of the pile, and you're going to get paid last.
Invoicing. Oh, it's such a funny thing, isn't it? Like, oh my god, invoice. And people are so. I mean, I think I learned the hard way by not getting paid one or something, by not having my shit in order. Now I've got a spreadsheet. Somebody else was talking about, is it QBooks or Q something else? I don't know.
QBooks.
Yes. Some other DJ was talking about that recently. But it's just, yeah, get your shit in order. Everything.
Yeah, definitely. And if you move from proper job to music job, then like you've got to come in and you've got to be organized and you've got to be like on it, because like it will eat you. You know what I mean? This job, if you get in a mess and you get in a tangle, you're going to give yourself so much more stress and you're not process. Like, oh God, I made loads of money from gigs like 6 months ago, because you're not organized. You're not on the ball, and someone else will be.
Yeah.
And it will be, yeah. You could lose out.
Funny, isn't it? It's funny when you speak to people. I get a lot of emails from people that are coming out normally to do a winter season that are a DJ, or they, you know, or a band or something, and they're like, "Oh, can you get me a gig?" I'm like, well, who the fuck are you? You know, just like a Facebook message or an Instagram message. I'm coming out to a season. I'm a DJ. Can you get me a gig? Hang on a second. Probably no. You know, who are you? Put your best foot forward.
Like, definitely. It is so important. It is so important, especially now where in the days of social media, you know, unfortunately some promoters do it, not look at how many people you follow on Facebook, how many people, you know, when you did your last post was, are you supporting the other promoters that you're playing for? Yeah. You know, you shout about their nights and things. That you have to be on your game with it. It is so important these days.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it, especially like supporting other people around you. You know, I had a lovely email of another girl who's like, I'm coming out to do a season. I DJ here. I do this. I do that. My friend Nicole, who's also a friend of mine, put me in contact with you because you're out here. And I was like, great. I'm playing at this venue. What type of music do you play? She was like, I do all of this. And I was like, great. Let's try and do something together. It was that easy. Because she was nice, and all her shit together.
Exactly. I want to help this person, even if you can't do something, you'll remember them being polite, kind, and helpful, and just respectful. And you'll go, I mean, I've done it with people for project shindig, and it might be that we just don't have a position for them. But in the future, I mean, I had. Because I work for, you know, Boomtown opened Area 404.
I saw that.
So I got the call about 2 days before the doors were meant to open. Be like, hey, the guy who's running it was a really good friend of mine. We used to live together, and he was a bit panicked, needed some help. So we got the call, went in, and there's a guy who messaged me earlier in the year about working at Shindig, and I think it was like quite late in the day, and I didn't have anything. He was really nice and respectful, and I was like last minute needed a couple of people to come down and just help, just do some odd jobs. He was top of my list, you know. He was there. He worked the whole weekend. He busted it out, and I think we had him back the following weekend, and it was good, because I was like, he's local, he has a car, he's really helpful, he had all this shit together, and he was there. And it just goes to show, doesn't it, I might not need you that time, but the next time I'll remember you to come and help me do something.
You get the call, like the bat phone. Have you got like the red phone in the office that just kind of calls for emergencies?
I think I might get one. That would be good.
It's you know, supporting people around you as well, like you're saying about, you know, are they supporting other nights or other festivals, or have they, you know, it's just getting out there and meeting people. Is I think that's also a dying art at the moment, isn't it, with the whole social media. Well, COVID is stopping people from getting out and meeting people at the moment.
There's a bit of hype your mates, like, I don't know if that's a hashtag, it might be, who knows, but hype your mates businesses, you know. If they're a DJ, Will keeps doing it at the moment on his Instagram.
That's really cool. I've looked at some of the posts and I'm like, these are cool people, so I've started following some of them. And
it's just sharing, and it's not like you're sharing big business, what your mates are up to, you know. Whether it's a friend of ours has started a meat business where he's curing meat in his living room. He literally bought a fridge and they're amazing, you should check them out, big hype. And there's so much, you know, just in this time we can't go out, we can't buy tickets for stuff because nothing's really happening. Just like the page, just follow him, you know, and talk about it, and just go, oh, my friend does this, you know. And doing those links, I think, are really important, especially now.
Yeah, I think, what did you see that, was it Carl Cox? There's a couple of posts about Carl Cox saying, support your grassroots mates, because you never know where they're going to end up. And it's him, obviously, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're so important. You know, give their SoundCloud a share. If you really like a track, don't just like it on the page. Copy it onto flipping, and, you know, radio shows, podcasts, whatever. You know, if someone's starting out, they need all the likes and shares that they can get, really.
Oh my God, it's so important, isn't it? Because I think there's a huge stigmatism to how many likes you've got or how many people are following you on Instagram and all of this shit. And we were speaking to China Lawan. I don't know if you know, she runs the We Run the World female DJ agency. And she was saying that somebody booked this guy off Instagram because he had loads of likes, and then they refused to pay him because he was so shit. They rang her up and she's like, what do you expect? Like,
no, oh my God. Yeah, exactly. And I think it's quite a shallow world, isn't it, where it's you're rated on how you can buy them as well, which is just absolute
I know. I know, it's bad, isn't it?
That's a whole other thing, isn't it? DJs that buy likes.
Oh, do you know what, Instagram and that is a bane of my life, but I'm so glad I've only got people that actually liked me originally. I don't care if my number's not big, like, I'm busy living.
Yeah. To the creative Instagram in a year, I was like, I could be posting something. No one needs to hear from me for the next, until I've got something to shout about, I'm just going to shut up. I'm just not going to post anything.
No one
cares.
What is your rebellious creatives on Instagram? I've only got your Jess Chambers, your JA Chambers on Instagram.
Oh, yeah, that's my personal one. I've recently gone to private, which has been glorious because that means I stop getting weird Russian people messaging me. But no, we're on Instagram at Rebellious Creative. It's pretty straightforward. It's been there since April last year, so I wouldn't check it out because it's quite boring, really.
I set up a Good Vibes Only Instagram, and afterwards I was like, why the fuck have I started a second Instagram account? I was just like, nah. No, I very rarely post to it unless there's something. I've just got a link to my MailChimp, basically.
Yeah.
It's all I want, your email addresses, so I can connect with you on a better level.
Yeah, exactly. I just think it's just so much chatter at the moment. I think there's so much going on. So I was like, you know, and it's not good practice, yourself and your business in these hard times, but I thought, nah, I'm just going to leave it. You know, we've got the festival pages and all that stuff, but I think, yeah, I'll start back with it, but for now, I'll just keep out of it.
So what's happening with Rebellious Creatives now then? Where are you planning for summer? Are you planning, say, 6 months or 12 months ahead for something? Or can you tell me if there's something going on? Like,
I mean, we've always got like a little list going of ideas, and we've got time rambling around fields in the Land Rover looking for sites. We spend a lot of time doing that.
Amazing.
Just going breaking havoc. There's nothing really huge on the horizon, really. We've not got anything solid booked in the calendar, but we're kind of looking at going a bit boutique and running something in-house ourselves that is just kind of a bit more of an experience rather than like a full-blown festival. That with Shindig, and we're going to put our focus on that kind of thing into that and doing those kind of things. Whereas for Rebellious ourselves, obviously I've got my consultancy work that kind of comes in, you know, yep. kind of do, which I'm quite fortunate to be in a position to be able to do. Not financially, but it's just, you know, it's working on the stuff I want to do whilst we wait for the world to open back up. So, I've been a bit cryptic, haven't I?
No, it's cool. The thing is, no one really knows. So it's whether you can plan 12 months ahead, next month ahead, but actually it could all just be a pile of shit because nothing's going to change. So,
yeah, I think we've said, because last summer we worked on a campsite where some friends of ours did, like a pop-up campsite, and 4 weeks of different groups of people coming in, and there was sort of, you know, people camping, and it was all socially distanced and all that kind of stuff, and that was really good fun, and it worked, and the council let us do it. You know, they let us literally have like 1,000 people camping over different weekends. with composting toilets, which is quite wild. So there's definitely scope to do stuff, but at the moment, let's just wait and see. We might still have this vaccine.
The vaccine. France is rolling out with the vaccine. I think the UK is rolling out with it, isn't it? Like, but then there's loads of bad media.
They are doing it, and it's been pretty mad to watch. But we'll see. We're just going to wait and see. There's a lot of people, you know, moving things to next September. A lot of people who spend a lot of money on trying to move things around. But I'm like, let's just, until the kids get back to school, they're not going to let us put that many people in.
No. And also, you can't just, well, I mean, I don't know, you might be able to, but you can't just like tomorrow be like, okay, so the festival's going to be in 2 weeks. Doesn't work like that, does it? So there is, I mean, you must have it fine tuned now, but how many months do you normally have to start beforehand of like getting things going?
Well, we start planning about a month after we get off site from the last one.
I thought that'd be the case.
we start thinking when we're usually on site going, next year we'll do this. No, I mean, we've got to get our paperwork submitted because we are moving sites, so we're not going to stay in our normal home of Bruton. We were due to move to our beautiful new stately home of Dillington in Ilminster, which is which is stunning, absolutely amazing. We had a lot more paperwork to do. We've got to submit a bit here, a bit there. January tends to be the time we need to start properly getting people in the office, and it's all steam ahead for May. So at the moment, unless we got the nod tomorrow, it would still be really tight for us.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it must be the same for everybody. I don't know if I do this whole stage at Wilkstock. I don't know if that's happening. That's September. So I was like, well, end of August, September. So
yeah.
Then
Wilkstock's, what's the cap on that? That's like 2,000?
No, five now. Well, it was five. But yes, it's not a huge amount, but still potentially 5,000 people.
I know the pain of organising 5,000 people in a field. It's a lot. So don't knock yourself with that, babe. No, I think we just didn't want to, because it's our new site, it's our new home, we want to unveil Shindig in all its glory of being back to normal. People can touch and lick each other and do all that mad stuff that they do there. I make it sound weird. It's not that weird.
That does happen, though.
It does happen. Let's just wait and see. You know, if other festivals go ahead and they work out the process, which kind of neatly leads on to We Are Viable, which I've been working with for a couple of months. If other people, like if football stadium, go in, watch the match, come out again, and there's no contamination and people don't get sick from it, I'm gonna let Liverpool or Manchester Millions working it out.
Yeah,
and trying to do it ourselves, because we don't have any guidance from Public Health England at the moment. They haven't told us how we should be doing things, advising and people suggesting, but we haven't got a hard line. This is the test that you need to do. This is the organisation that you need to put in. And until we have that, we don't really want to make people.
It's like you're working backwards from it, isn't it? Like, you know, no one knows. It's kind of this, pretty much similar here when they opened the bars in summer. They were like, well, you might need screens, you might not need screens. Tables might need to be 2 metres apart, but no, 1 metre is okay. And you've got to wear a mask when you're outside, but on the terrace is fine. And it was just sort of a bit like, we're trying to do something to make it as safe as possible without having any World Health Organization guidelines. And no. I suppose festivals, I mean, to be honest, if everybody else is going to kind of pave the way, then Shindig in its own amazing glory.
But I mean, we can work it out, and we have done. We spent months doing it, and we've spent months doing it. But the problem is, when you chuck alcohol into the mix, how do you, it's like herding cats on acid. Do you know what I mean? How do you do it? Like, how you planning, but as soon as people are pissed out their faces, how do you tell them to not? And how do you organise it and socially distance in a campsite in the dark at 3 o'clock in the morning? You just can't. It's not possible. It's just it's to the people that have paid to be there. If you're like, oh, stop touching him, when it's a friend they haven't seen in a year.
And it's supposed to be, you know, a festival. People want to go to a festival for it being a festival. They want to lick each other's faces. They want to roll around in the mud. They want to shag random people. They like to experience toilets. They want to eat all the random food. They want to stand together and they want to mosh. Like,
yeah, exactly. And who are we to say they can't do that? Hold off. And if it's this year, if it's next year, you know, it will come back and it will come back with a vengeance, because people are going to be absolutely dying to go out and go wild. So I think the safest thing for everyone is just to hold our horses, really.
Yeah, and it's sad because, like I was saying to you, like, I'm dying to get back to work. I like pride myself on being like the creator of chaos, you know, on the dance floor, like, and I can't do that. Yeah. Literally, it's not safe.
No, it's been weird. It's been really strange. We had in Bath, where we live, we did a little club night in this posh bar, and we had a stage, and Will did a night with Huey Morgan from the Fun Loving Criminals. Oh, he's like a neighbour. Yeah, and then it was like one of the last club nights really in the town, and then we kind of didn't know it be until afterwards, and we were like, oh man, that's it, and people were like, whoa, what, are we gonna do another one? And we're like, can't, you know, it just to wait. So the appetite there is gonna go wild, and I think it's gonna be like the summer of love all over again.
Oh my god, yeah, let's get naked. Hooray. So talk to me about We Are Viable UK. Talk to me about this.
Yeah, so I can't remember when it was, basically. We got a call from Nikki Archer, who's married to Mark Arne.
I know Nikki.
Yeah, legend. Amazing. Runs NLA Artists, amazing booking agency, some excellent people in their books. They were basically getting all this stuff together, and they had a manifesto, and they're working with Uncle Doug's, who is of Rinse FM fame and many other amazing things. He's a total babe. I didn't know him before this. I'm like, oh my god. And there's loads of other awesome human beings, like Bridge and Emma and Cy from Too Bad My John and King Youth, and loads of people who've been working, who've given loads of time. And there was late nights where we were like bashing documents out and doing to basically just see if we could work out a way to keep the industry going, get it back open. We've been working closely with the NTIA, having lots of meetings with them, giving them loads of feedback, and just kind of assisting where we can. We've been like, sort of, we've got a bit of a pot of money that people have donated to us. Due to start talking this week about how we're going to divvy that up and what we're going to do with it. We've got like the website all set up, which has been awesome, and it's been quite amazing for them to call us up and ask if we wanted to be involved. So yeah, it's cool. There's so many resources out there for people like struggling with mental health, or there's loads of funds and financial grants and stuff that we've been trying to shout about, and creating lists on Twitter and just retweeting stuff and getting people connected with people who write grant applications and job applications, just to help people in the industry as much as we can, because the Tory government haven't helped at all.
I did hear that. Well, I did kind of see that there was nothing available for anybody really in the UK.
No, I mean, there is bits and bobs, but I mean, I'm a limited company director, and there was me. And there's obviously the excluded guys, who there's like 3 million people they estimate who've just been completely forgotten about by and his free band of wankers. So it's been hard. It's been really difficult. I'm getting messages and stories from people who had this really successful business. I had a summer full of bookings, or I just started a new business, and this is going to be the year I really turned over loads of money, and I've put my all and did into nothing. So it was hard. It was really hard to to hear those stories. But I think it helped. Well, I'd like to think it helped people having an outlet, just being able to talk to some massive Facebook group. They just like, you know, thousands and thousands of people that, you know, we had to monitor a little bit for conspiracy theories, but there was a big community that kind of grew out there of people supporting each other or people connecting with each other. And it's been really nice. It's been, in the dark days of lockdown 2 or 20 or whatever one it was in back in October, November time, it was quite a nice little outlet to be working on and feeling like you were doing something worthwhile.
It's amazing. I mean, I've been checking it out. It's so good that you're able to point people in the direction of like funding or grants, because I think a lot of artists don't realize they're entitled to that or would even know how to fill in the application. And having that support also from a Facebook group, it's brilliant. It's like real connecting with real people that have real problems.
Yeah. You do help each other and help ourselves, kind of thing, isn't it? The Arts Council and a lot of the applications and grants and stuff, they're quite prohibitive. They're difficult. You know what you're doing, you are quite screwed. You know, there's obviously help out there, but you know, if you're dyslexic or if you're, you know, you struggle with numbers or if you struggle just kind of doing that more paper things. You know, they're not going to do it for you. They're not going to help you. You have to, you know, kind of dig deep or find someone or connect with someone that can help you do it. So that's kind of what we've hoped to prepare and be kind of a bit supportive. So we've got a meeting this week with the NTIA, and we're going to kind of readdress. We had a bit of a break over Christmas.
Why not?
It's been a lot. So we're going to kind of address where we're at, look at our goals, see what we're needed and what we can be doing moving forward for the next few months, because it doesn't look like things are going to reopen. You know, pubs, they're kind of saying nothing's going to reopen till May time. Really, what we can do and just try and go from there, really.
Yeah, it's amazing, because I think unless you're, you know, say for example you're a band or you're a DJ or some form of artist, unless you've got some kind of businessy kind of knowledge of how to present yourself or what your business plan as a person, as an artist or a group is going to be in the next 3 to 5 years, these applications are mind-boggling.
Really hard. Yeah, we did one for Shindig for the first round of the Cultural Recovery Fund. Got told to be viable, which is just batshit crazy when you compare it to who actually got some of that money. And I mean, I was doing the questions, and you know, I like to think of myself as I've kind of, you know, done a lot of school and stuff. Yeah. And I quite enjoy that kind of paperwork side of things, because quite nerdy in that respect, and like I struggled, you know, I really, really struggled hard. I found the wording a bit difficult. What they were asking for was, you know, God knows how, you know, young artists or people who are familiar with the process fared with it. You know, there must have been tons of people that lost out. So, yeah, I do really feel for people. So hopefully, we'll fill some gaps and just be there and keep lobbying, keep supporting and just, you know, keep pushing for the right things. So eventually when we do, you know, Live Nation.
God, I mean, oh God, I just can't wait for things to get back to normal. It's just, it's strange. It's just trying to keep busy. I mean, my days are a bit skew-whiff, really. I mean, the podcast is a great project to keep focus on, and the work that goes on to the back end of it. And I thoroughly enjoy speaking to people. Lovely to catch up with you as well. And it's just, but other than that, it's like, what do you do every day if you have nothing to do? You've got to try and have some form of structure at the same time. Yeah. I mean, I'm quite lucky being here. There's lots of hiking, and the dogs always need walking. So, but it'd be nice just to get your teeth back into something. Like,
yeah. I felt it recently where I've gone back and I'm helping my mate with his building company and reorganizing his office. He sort of rang me today to be like, where's this file? I'm like, oh, right, okay, if you go to this file. He's like, Jesus Christ, Jen. and I think, much energy, and I think it wasn't like it kind of petered out. It was just like cut off,
Yeah.
You know, and all that creative drive that we had for the next year, and I saw my diary, all my stuff I had booked in, and you know, I did like a qualification to be a licensing practitioner, and I was like, right, wicked, I'm going to get my qualification. So I know other people who do festival licensing, and I was like, wicked, I can go and do this everywhere, and I can help people get their festival licenses. And they just all got turned off, and I got nothing to do.
It's funny, isn't it? Well, it's not funny, it's just like, just all of a sudden everything's not how it was, basically. They shut the bars and restaurants here at like midnight, and that was it. There was no more bars and restaurants open on a Saturday night, midnight, and that's it. Sunday, everything was shut. There were still people here on holiday trying to work out how to get home. Like, what do we do? We can't stay here. How are we going to get to the airport? We're in France in lockdown, shutting its borders. People are like fucking panicking. And then we're all like, well, now what do we do? Like, what do we do?
Yeah, I remember the, in the beginning of lockdown, my friend Kat Roberts, did she come out and see
you? Oh, no, I think I think we connected, but I don't know if we met in the end.
Okay, so she runs On Point Agency. She had a little tour at the start of lockdown that she, I can't think who she took out there in the end.
And I didn't, she went to another resort, I think. I think she went to another resort.
Yeah, she did. But it, she got stuck for like 8 and then she let her fly home. She was like stuck in France. Like, luckily she was staying with friends and it was all right. But she was like, what do I do? Like, how do I get home? And she was there, I think she didn't come home for ages. And then she got back to the UK and were recommending that people took public transport rather than getting picked up by friends or family. And we're like, how does that work? People spreading disease. But anyway, so it's been a funny old time. And I think keeping busy for your mental health has been really important. And I think hopefully maybe new year, new start. What's happening? I don't know.
Yeah, new year, new start. I think evolve, try and evolve what you're doing or trying to better what you're already offering. But yeah, just mindset's hard this time. I think maybe because it's so dark of an evening that, you know, normally there's more like after school fun club, so to speak.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, we're in our pajamas at 5 o'clock at the moment.
I'm never out of my pajamas, to be honest.
What I'm wearing down here. So funny. But have you got any advice to give, say, people that are trying to come up through the industry or into like festivals or into the music scene? What would be your one bit of advice? Oh, have I lost?
There you go, you're back.
I'm back. Oh, cool. I'll start that again. I was about to say, I don't know if it's my phone or not. Yes, that's podcasting for you, isn't it? If you could give one bit of advice, mate, to somebody up and coming, or maybe, you know, the younger you, the things you've learned along the way, what would it be?
I don't know, one bit. I guess it would just be do your homework. You know, just do your homework. Read around the subject. Study up. Find out what you're getting into. You know, it might be that it's not for you. You know, go into a situation, just clued up, and I think that will help anything. You prepare yourself with data, and you can find the answer to anything if you just give yourself the tools to answer the question.
That's a great bit of advice, actually. Do your homework. Yeah. Don't just, you know, put your best foot forward, do your homework, and go for it. Don't be shy. Yeah. Like, yeah. amazing. So if everybody wants to, I was going to give your Instagram, but obviously if you don't want to speak to anybody, that's fine. But if people want to check out We Are Viable,
definitely check out We Are Viable. It's at We Are Viable UK. We Are Viable UK on Facebook. Come see what we're doing. We're doing a little bit of a relaunch in the next week or so. Obviously check out Rebellious Creative. I'm always here if anyone wants to chat. It's just jess@rebelliouscreative.com. Be nice.
Amazing. Jess, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's like, you were worried about what we're going to talk about. We've been chatting for an hour.
Oh, really? Oh, God. It's so great to chat to. Thank you so much.
It's been brilliant. Well, what I'll do is I'll post on the podcast notes of how to get in contact with you and all the links for everybody to check out. And maybe once things are up and running or we know a bit more, we can talk about the festival scene a bit more in a bit more detail.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be more than happy to. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Cool.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Hustle, industry advice for women in music. Thanks again for taking the time to listen to this podcast. Please, please, please follow, subscribe, rate and give us a review. Help us to move up in the iTunes chart so that we can bring you more and more amazing guests. Thanks again. For more info on what we're up to, please check out our website, www.goodvibesonlymusic.com. Peace, love and good vibes always. See you next week.